Okay, I'm Noah.
And I'm Edward, and you're listening to La Cosa Nostra.
And we're going to do the Batman, but we are doing the first part of Batman because I haven't finished it. We will add the second part of this podcast after this, yeah.
So, 2022's Matt Reeves' The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, Jeffrey Wright, and Zoe Kravitz, with supporting performances from Paul Dano, Colin Farrell, and Andy Serkis.
Yeah, this was the first Batman film in a while since... I want to say Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah.
Dawn of Justice. Or you could say Justice League, I don't know.
It's the Batman. It's a fresh take.
It's very new.
I personally think Matt Reeves did a brilliant job.
This is a very... I want to say I was surprised, but I kind of knew going in that this was going to be a really good film. However, it's not my favourite Batman film.
Before we fully get into it, can we have a second to appreciate the cast he pulled together for this movie? This is like the depressing
Farrell,
movie Avengers.
Colin Farrell.
He was so good in this movie.
And
unrecognisable. Jeffrey Wright in a supporting role. I mean, I know him from The Watcher, from What If, but I mean, brilliant, brilliant. Robert Pattinson will always be a favourite of mine. A brilliant Batman. I'm surprised people had doubts in him. I love the new kind of...
Oh, people have doubts with every single Batman. Like, all the hate that he did get from this is nothing compared to a lot of the others get, so...
I just love the Kurt Cobain Batman, it's very realistic. I mean, if your parents died, the trauma would take form in the emo haircuts and the eyeliner and...
Okay, yeah, that's true. I don't know.
And Kravitz, Zoe Kravitz in this film is brilliant. I mean, the Catwoman for me in this film is really well done. The costumes are a little bit too, like, Kick-Ass-esque, like, eye-strip for me, but I mean, brilliant. And Andy Serkis, as per usual, transforms.
Andy Serkis is good in this. Like, he is good in anything. Like, I'm just like, wow, this guy is just incredible. Like, Planet of the Apes, Lord of the Rings, even, like, The Adventures of Tintin, he is very good in all of those. I was just genuinely surprised to see him as Alfred.
That is a fresh take.
A very, very different take, which I wasn't expecting. Because I always see him as this old man, like, kind of character. But like,
I think, if we're talking Batman, we have to touch on the incredible cinematography.
This is it's one of the best.
Genuinely
I've seen in
beautiful.
A very long time.
Like, let alone Batman, it is arguably one of the best cinematographed films of all time. Like. The colour ratio, I think, of Batman being really red and then Bruce Wayne being very, very bright and slightly harsh. Like, I love just the way that it looks in the film. I love the fact that, like, it's always raining. Yeah. It's, for me...
It's a very dark... Like, I'm not the tone, but just, like, how it looks. It's a very dark film, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a lot of, like, light colours. Even when it is in the daytime...
You can't watch this movie in the daytime. You won't be able to see anything.
I realise that. Yeah. Okay.
I think also, a lot of the about this film is different, and I think before we talk about plot and like acting and stuff, just appreciating, as we said, the cinematography and the design of the film is very nice. I mean, the way Batman's suit looks for me is like a very it's like if a riot police officer wore like 80s leather, and I'm really here for it. Like, I love the way it looks.
It genuinely looks good because.
And the way it looks in the rain with the mat and then the shininess from the water is impressive.
That because the problem with Christian Bale's one, they literally morph his face into the bat suit.
It's slightly ill-fitting the suit.
It doesn't look right. Here, it actually looks really right for me. It looks very good.
I love the combat boots and the like the scratches and the batarang being kind of metal placed in. Yeah. All of the gadgets, the wingsuit, I think looks really,
really good. Yeah.
I think like everything, even the like bat car in this the Batmobile is so cool. I love the like the American muscle car modified kind of vibe. I mean, I think the design and the way Gotham looks.
Yeah, the problem with the Nolan films, it's Chicago.
Yeah, it's Chicago.
Literally Chicago. It has no identity and it doesn't feel out of this world. I genuinely prefer the Burton films, which look like they came straight out of the comics.
Yeah.
Like, because it was built on, like, Warner Brothers sets. Mm. And it genuinely looks out of this world. It looks dirty, it looks crime-ridden. It looks like it is... The city looks like it's going to mug you, yeah. That's the thing.
But you take something like that, and then you put it through the kind of David Fincher machine, yeah. And you get what this is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel it's a mix. This one's a mix between the Burton films.
It and feels a bit like and the later ones. Comics.
Yeah.
If you want, Burton kind of adapted the early 80s comics.
Yeah.
And then this is sort of everything since has been yeah. so dark. And I love that he's like completely changed it. I love that Gotham looks like it's had its days like past. I love yeah. the design of the drop heads and also just the fact that they made their own like drug empire
yeah.
for a Batman film is really cool because it gives it its own identity.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I need to say something about the score.
It's amazing. I love it.
It's good. Don't get me wrong. Like it really. I only started to realize that when like the Penguin's car had tipped over and yeah. Batman came out. I was like, jeez. I know.
That is. But like for me, that is possibly the best Batman theme. Like that is such an amazing.
I'm sorry, but. When I think Batman, I always think of Danny Elfman's score where it goes da 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 da. Like,
yeah,
it is genuinely, when I think Batman, that is what I think. That is, it's probably the most iconic score that they have. I haven't seen anything like that. This comes really close.
This hasn't had time for me to kind of expand its universe and enough to kind of reach that level just yet. But I mean, with The Penguin having come out a year later, which yeah. was, if you haven't seen it, Perfect Television, you need to watch it. It's brilliant. Colin Farrell, brilliant. Ripped off at the Golden Globes, should have won Best Miniseries.
He won Best Actor, so, you know, we're okay.
If you haven't seen it, I can't spoil it here, but it's amazing. Go spoil yourself, go watch it. It's really good. And it really does help kind of show Gotham. And what I like is it's not focusing on Batman, his world.
Yeah.
It's Gotham. The main character of this film is Gotham. And Gotham feels like its own character.
Yeah, that's the thing. It goes that's through, what I like, need in emotion. That's what I need in a Batman film.
And the Nolan's
films don't give me that. I don't feel it's a character. I just look at it and that's another city. The ones in Batman Returns and this Batman, I genuinely feel have their own character in. Now, another interesting thing with this one is the Riddler.
The Riddler's brilliant.
This is such a complete tonal shift for a Riddler character. Because the only two Riddlers I know is Jim Carrey. Which is the complete other side. Because I was watching videos on Batman Forever, just watching clips of it, and Jesus God, it is just completely bonkers. And like Jim Carrey is going completely over the top. And then I was going into this one, and you see, it's more real in this one.
I think Paul Dano is incredibly underrated.
Great.
The Fabelmans, he's amazing. And for those who have seen Prisoners, it becomes very obvious that he could do the Riddler. He's really scary.
He's genuinely scary.
But he has his own kind of comedy that's not yeah. funny.
It's just
he
really
makes
messed
himself
up
laugh.
Comedy. He loses it.
He's obviously very heavily inspired by The Zodiac Killer.
Yeah,
which there's a movie about by David Fincher. This film feels very David Fincher-esque. He is very much a psychopath. And I think that's interesting from the Batman point of view that he doesn't fight supervillains like he does in the comics. You know, there's no, you know, Joker or Clayface or these like ridiculous over the top villains. He's a down to earth, like he's an orphan like Batman. He took a different path. He took a different path and it's amazing what you see he can do. He's almost the leader of a cult, this guy. He's this cult leader who takes it too far. His clues, he's kind of
yeah, like
weird
I genuinely
photo
like the
style.
Clues that are there. Like I remember watching Batman Forever, and the way they find out it's the Riddler in that is like E. His name begins with E. His surname is Nigma. Enigma. Edward Nigma. That's the guy. And then here, there's genuinely built up, and so that is it is done very well here. Now, Catwoman.
We have to talk about her. She is the best Catwoman, in my opinion. I mean, Anne Hathaway did a wonderful job. She was amazing, but her character was rushed, in my opinion. Selene Kyle in this has enough time to fully kind of show herself and establish herself as her own character. There's that kind of tinge of romance that there is in the comics between Bruce Wayne, Selina Kyle. And I love that we see her with cats in this film. She has an apartment full of cats.
I know.
Which is just... And, you know, the penguin, the bat and the cat. Yeah. All being kind of in the same room. It just was an awesome comics moment for me.
I've got an issue with... I mean, she's good in this. But I'm sorry, Michelle Pfeiffer will always be the best Catwoman to me. Not only does she have the best design, because it's like the costume is literally stitched together. And, like, I just feel that that is Catwoman. And, like, in Batman Returns, you already have the bat, the cat, and the penguin in the same movie at the same time. So I'm seeing the same thing again, but I'm not seeing it as good. I don't know. It just, like...
They're all very different. I think if you're a fan of kind of the more 80s and 90s style of Batman, this film will feel a little bit off to you.
It felt a little off, but I could still get into it because this movie had an identity.
It had...
Which is the most important thing, what I needed in a Batman film. I don't want to watch a Batman film that could happen... in our, like this, like that could happen in our world.
Yeah,
like,
that's Nolan a very, films, very like, scary, real.
Just, exactly. Nolan films, they just happen in Chicago. Like, I don't feel an identity. This doesn't feel out of this world. This movie, not completely out of this world. We're not in
old
Burton. Yeah. We're not Burton. We're not that far down.
Yeah.
But like, it still really has an identity. It's gloomy. It's dark. It's crime.
Yeah.
When I see this place, I'm like, yeah, this place looks like it's completely just messed up. I think
another thing that's kind of missed in a lot of the Batman films is the Alfred and Robert Pattinson kind of job here. Bruce Wayne and Alfred, it's really...
They have a better dynamic.
Really, they were beautifully made. And also kind of the fact that the Mafia comes in and that kind of rival father in Carmine Falcone.
Which is quite interesting because... I really like the crime aspect to this. Because if you don't know, like, the original Batman comics of the 40s were all inspired by crime noir.
Yeah. So there's a lot of detective aspects.
Because when I think of the Burton films and the Schumacher films as well, those are all kind of fantasy films.
Yeah.
In my eyes. This feels like a proper crime film.
Yeah.
For people who like crime movies, this is it.
So for people who don't know and thought the Falcones were kind of an add-on character, the Falcons came from a comic called The Long Halloween, written in the early 90s, in which Batman and the Cat both try and take down Carmine Falcone, either from stealing or fighting them, or something along those lines. So the Falcons had already come, and if you liked the crime aspect of this film, again, subtle plug, the Penguin, it's all about kind of the Mafia aspect of this. I think that Carmine Falcone and his relationship to the Waynes, and then that leading into the Penguin was really, not the Penguin, sorry, the Riddler, was really, really well done. I like that it's kind of more crime and Batman is this kind of symbol to the city.
Yeah.
But he's not, you know, hope like he usually is. Yeah, he's like
vengeance.
Fear.
He's vengeance.
He's, I am vengeance.
Exactly.
And that opening scene, I'm sorry to pivot, but that opening scene with the fight and it's all lit exclusively by gunfire and train lights was so, like, well done. And the fact they look a bit like Joker and they're all, like, drop heads.
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
And they're, like, the half-faced because the kid's not fully fledged in yet. But then the way that
I thought they were going to elaborate on that. I guess they did.
The way that fight was choreographed...
That was a good fight.
...was really well done. And I think that's something that kind of stands out in this film is the action is
very
well-paced, done. It doesn't feel... It's not like in the. I love the Nolan films. I love Nolan, but.
Which is fair enough.
It's quite slow action.
I know.
Because it feels a bit like it's filmed slowly, so it feels fast. As the Batman, it is brutal. You're waiting for them to cut the camera away so you don't see it, but you still see it. You get, you know, broken noses, broken arms, gunshots. Like,
that car scene was. That car scene. Genuinely something else. I don't think I was mentally prepared for that, so they kind of just strapped me in and I was like, wow.
And I mean, that is what some of the best cars we've seen. Yeah. Like, a Fast and Furious movie came out like a year before this or a year after this, and this was still better than Fast and Furious.
Well, like, same year, I don't know how many they made.
Really, really well done, like, cars. Yeah. I mean, everything in this film is done to the highest degree.
I know. The opening, it's good. I am not going to deny. But, like, it was... Again, I'm going back to the Burton films because their opening is the Batman theme. And it's one of the most exhilarating openings I have seen of any movie. This movie starts with Warner Brothers, DC, the Batman, and you're just straight in, which is like, oh.
But okay. I do like it opens almost silent and then into one
it's completely
and
silent.
Then one of my favorite monologues.
Yeah, it was very good.
Like, and the fact, you know, it's Halloween. And they already start establishing Gotham as a character. You see all of the people in the streets dressed up as dropheads. And then you see different aspects of crime and you're already seeing crime. And then you hear sort of this scene where a drophead is stealing from a store. And you hear kind of a train going above, which is completely unnecessary. But it builds this kind of atmosphere to Gotham that maybe isn't necessary or we didn't need it, but you're then completely, you're in Gotham. And especially if you watch this like I did in a dark room, you are like in Gotham.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the different locations. So the Burton films are awesome, but I think their Iceberg Lounge, and especially later with like Danny DeVito and stuff, doesn't really compare to this. This movie's Iceberg Lounge and then the 66 below.
It's an interesting
below.
Take. It's a very interesting take.
And how, you know, you'll find the DA in there, you'll find the cops, and you'll find everybody in there. And I liked it. It kind of establishes very early, like, power in this movie. Yeah. You've got Batman.
It's taking more... It's very much a crime film. That's why I think that's very important, you know. That's kind of the reason you see the DA there, and, like, you have all these things in politics. But it's not overdone. It's not overdone in this movie.
The puzzles in this film, talking about plot now, it's one of the best plots from a movie, let alone that I've seen in like quite a while. It's very reminiscent of Prisoners, of Uncut Gems. It's kind of this sort of very stressful ride where you're like, come on, Batman, come on. Yeah. And I was trying to solve the puzzles at the same time. These little cards that come up that are like,
Batman do it, you know,
who is,
he knows what he's doing.
What does a liar do when he dies? He lies still. Thumb and drive and all of these weird little kooky gags that just are kind of terrifying.
Yeah. And you see, this genuinely feels like a detective movie, which I haven't seen. I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, like a proper I think the problem is we kind of fell into Batman being a Marvel kind of character where it's like he's part of the larger universe. Justice. He's got a bunch of money. Justice he fights people. So. He's Justice for Gotham that doesn't really exist in the DCEU.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to Gotham and Justice League and stuff like that.
Yeah, he just kind of disappeared. It was basically just like Atlanta.
I know. I don't even know what it is. I think the last time they actually went in with the detective style of this was like the 1989 Batman film. Because there's not only a gothic to it, but it's that you have that crime aspect, but I think it's more fantasy. This really leans in with the crime, which is it was really interesting to see.
I think there's a big thing that's kind of absent in this movie, but especially in the plot, but I don't really mind it, is Bruce Wayne isn't in this film very much. I think he has probably, if we count him as a different character, maybe 10 minutes screen time.
That was Batman. I remember hearing something that somebody actually went out of their way with a stopwatch with every single Batman movie and counted how much Batman was in every single movie. It normally averages to about 25 minutes, how much Batman himself is in this movie.
And then when you watch this movie, it's like reversed and Bruce Wayne's in it for 20.
Yeah.
But I like that they brought in the plot of Bruce Wayne being Riddler's, like, one of Riddler's targets and stuff.
I'm so, so happy they didn't go with the whole origin story again, because I am so
I liked it. It's Batman year one, you know. Exactly. He's like, it's his first year doing it, and I like
but like I just every single time with a lot of Batman films, like always the first installment or Batman Begins or like the first Tim Burton Batman, they always have to have the bit where like Thomas and Martha Wayne are walking with Bruce Wayne. They get shot and Martha's pearls fall on the floor.
Yeah,
and it's like, geez, I've seen this. Can we move on? I think they've done it like four times now.
Yeah, but I really like in the plot that
they get on with it.
Yeah, two things to touch on. But Martha, like the characters of the parents aren't absent.
I know.
Because this whole kind of, I think it's from the Court of Owls comic, of them having like pumped money into a fake fund which was actually funding like a lot of drugs and stuff, and how they were like manipulated by the city was like very clever, and it was nice to see that the parents were included, they weren't forgotten. And also Andy Serkis as Alfred talking about in a very Michael Caine-esque way, what it was like kind of looking after Bruce when he was very young. Mm. And this kind of like the story of like bringing him up and then how the mafia still had an effect on Bruce's life once his parents were gone.
Yeah. Okay, I have an issue with Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne. I'm not even going to... He's good.
He's a brilliant Batman.
He's a brilliant Batman.
His Bruce Wayne is very much just like...
I'm looking at him, and if you told me that that guy was Bruce Wayne, I would believe you. Instantly in a second. I'm surprised not many people have clocked it in this movie that he was Bruce Wayne, that he was Batman. Like, but when I see someone like... When I see someone like Michael Keaton, I'm like, if you told me he was Batman, I don't think I would believe you.
Yeah.
But you can still kind of see it. Again, you kind of have to play a balancing act with this thing. You don't want to make a Bruce Wayne that was like, yeah, I can't see you as Batman any day of the week. But you still need him to be kind of brooding and still kind of have this sadness in his eyes and stuff.
But
I think he's here. He's like, yeah, look at him with the black hair and like, what is it? Is it the makeup around his face?
Like eyeshadow.
Yeah, eyeshadow. I'm like, of course that guy's Batman. Like,
but I think there's an element of him that's like, they talk about it in the film that he's like a recluse. No one's seen Bruce Wayne in a long time. Yeah. And like,
Did they do that in the Nolan films? I know he's more of a narcissist than that.
Yeah, like he pops up a lot and he has like business meetings and stuff.
I know is that in the Burton films, he is a recluse. He's more of a weirdo. Like he's socially weird. He doesn't really know how to interact with people. Like he's really been cut off and like just staying in his in the Wayne estate. And that's the kind of thing that they were going for here.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I see. The Batcave.
In this film is like, hold on, just to finish on plot and then we'll go back to design the setting. I like that he's kind of like actively trying to avoid his life as Bruce Wayne because he feels the pressure of being Batman a lot more. And
most people see him as this rich kid who doesn't do anything. And that's why the Riddler was after him.
Yeah, and I think that the links, I mean, there's been some leaks of plot and stuff for Batman 2, which is just finished writing. Filming this year, coming out 2027.
Jesus, why did it take so long?
Well, I mean, if you want it to be the same quality as this, you're going to need...
No. That is 5 years.
You
don't need to take 5 years.
It's not that uncommon. The Guardians of the Galaxy movies had about 5 years in between each
of them. You had 2017
and then 2023.
So
it was
okay, good point.
It's usually quite a long time between films, and I think
I don't know. Like the Batman Begins 2005, The Dark Knight 2008,
Dark Knight Rises 2012.
That's 4. I see.
And especially if you want something to be the same quality as this, you need to let them take
time. It feels like a long time.
But apparently, and especially because they were working. They were doing Penguin, and then kind of following it up. And there's something to connect Penguin here, but there's a bit of Penguin to do with the underground train station, same as where. Leading on to your point, the Batman has his Batcave. I really like this Batcave.
It's a nice Batcave.
I think it's
just not my favorite. It doesn't have.
The caviness.
I know.
But I like he's kind of in the shadow of his father still because it's like his father's train station. Mm-hmm. I like the atmosphere of it is very Gotham. I like his like kind of harsh fluorescent lighting. The bats are still here.
I want to say something about the Penguin. It's weird because I watched Batman Returns recently and the Penguin, the whole story was that he was born with kind of like flippers as hands, and he was kind of chucked. He was like, his parents just chucked him in a river and just like got rid of him. So he's been this weird, kind of like monstrous person under the sewers, which like for as long as I thought, I was like, oh, is that the actual story of the Penguin? Apparently the idea has always been for him to be this crime boss. Even in the Adam West 1960s
boss. In the early ones, British crime boss. Yeah. He came over and he owned the Iceberg Lounge, was like his basically what it is in this movie, but really like 60s and kind of odd.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, but the idea was
he was a crime boss.
Yeah, that was always the idea. And like the weird thing is, they've taken that crime boss thing And they've like taken the voice of Danny DeVito because Colin Farrell sounds like Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I think the choice to make him a... No, he's not Italian. He's an Irish-American in this. Really? Because Colin Farrell is Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish. I'm sure, like, because I could have sworn he...
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of influence of Italian because he's in a mafia.
Yeah.
I like the choice to make him hobble like a penguin.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch The Penguin, is because of a health condition with his leg. It's like a very bad bunion. But he's had that since he was a child, and the idea was he was mercilessly bullied, and this guy who owned his, like, neighbourhood in Gotham, East Side, was, like, a mafia boss, and he, like... made people feel important because he remembered everyone in the neighborhood's name, and he like wants to be that guy, and so he's trying to rise up the ranks in this movie, and then The Penguin is about him trying to rise up further after the aftermath of this film. I think that
it's an intro.
He's a very well done character. I think
I'm not even like really he genuinely might be my favorite character of the
he
film.
He was really interesting even without much spot. Yeah,
I know, and like I don't think I want to compare him to like DeVito. It's just not the same. Those are two completely different characters.
I prefer the vibe of Colin Farrell's Penguin.
I know.
I understand Danny DeVito, like,
it fits
the aesthetic of a Tim Burton film more.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is The Penguin.
It's too... Yeah, that is... this. If you want to see The Penguin... As the penguin, you have to watch him in this. If you don't like that take, you take the Tim Burton one. I don't even know which one is better because they're so completely different. I see them as two completely different characters.
While we're on the topic of performances, Jeffrey Wright as Detective...
Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon is amazing.
I haven't seen the Nolan ones, and I've never seen a Batman film where there's an actual connection between Batman and Commissioner Gordon, and it's really interesting because Commissioner Gordon here is the only person who actually like properly like trusts Batman.
Yeah, especially with that kind of like escape scene where he lets Batman like break his nose and run off. I just feel like there's a lot to come from these guys. And I personally am really excited for Batman 2. I can't wait to see what he does
October 1st, 2027.
I just can't wait. And I think he's just... you can feel his presence throughout the movie. And although he's not a big role, it's just interesting. It's a lot like... I think it's very important in a film to have a whole ensemble that try really hard in the movie. If you watch a film like Minari, it's very obvious. In this, it's a little bit less obvious, but it's... still, every performance adds to it. And there's nobody who's, like, particularly lackluster in the film. Yeah. I mean, Paul Dano, amazing. Zoe Kravitz. I know, although maybe she's not Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's still very good. I still really like it.
And I love the more she feels a bit like she works on the streets. You know, she wears the wigs and the flirty dresses. And then she works in the lounge and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we've touched on Colin Farrell is very much amazing. Robert Pattinson, although he's the main character... amazing. John Turturro as Carmine Falcone, very interesting. And just everyone in the mafia was just an interesting touch to the film.
So, like, it says here that Zoe Kravitz took inspiration from Year One, actually.
The comic Year One, that was a big, heavy influence on this film.
And she took inspiration from, like, Catwoman in Batman Returns as well. So I see both of those things in her performance. I think she was very good in this. Did this get any... Oscar?
I don't believe it won anything.
I don't think it won anything because the Oscars hate superhero films. This movie is better than any other superhero film that I've seen in the last 30 years.
It's
like
in any of the
superhero films. Like, I think like. I don't think I've seen a superhero better than this because it doesn't rely on the fact that it's a superhero film.
Yeah.
It feels
very standard, but not in a way that the Nolan films... It's not classy. It's dirty.
It's dirty.
It's messy. Crying. It's
like,
bloody.
I feel like the DCU is an absolute mess. I don't even want to get into that, but those films feel too glossy to me. They feel too CGI heavy.
Yeah.
What I like about Burton's films, they barely use any CGI and it's all practical.
Yeah.
It
seems the same here.
It's the same here. The fight scenes, the opening fight scenes, it reminded me of those of Tim Burton's Batman films. It was real. I remember seeing like this a video from The Flash in 2023. Yeah. this mouse CGI in that.
Oh my God, just
to do all the fighting. Jesus God, I can't. I don't even care that Michael Keaton's Batman in that. I'm not even touching that movie. It genuinely does not look good. That's why I think the DCU is just a complete mess and rushed everything.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't part of the DCU.
To kind of bring it around, you talked a bit about the Batsuit being like very. We talked a bit about the Batsuit. The question of design.
It was taken over. It was because he did test in Val Kilmer's one from Batman Forever, which I was thinking, like, yeah, it kind of looks like they've molded his face into it. You can kind of see.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like Pattinson's one where like the cheekbone is there and everything.
Yeah.
And I like how they've molded his eyebrows into the Batsuit. Yeah. I think the
costume design in general for this film is like really good.
It is really good.
I really like Catwoman's costume with the like beanie with the little ears and then the same kind of leather cat suit that can be seen in the Burton movies, but without the classic white stitches, and it feels more sleek.
Yeah.
The penguin, what he wears is like very, you still see the purples and things he's famous for, but it's very kind of out there classy suits that feels very kind of what it should feel like for a mobster boss who likes his colours. His Maserati, it's purple and gold. It's not very, you know, discreet, kind of don't let the police see me, but it's very like penguin. Mm-hmm. I think the way that the police are all kind of similar, the way obviously they have to wear the same uniforms, but they're kind of their costumes purposely hide them, so you focus more on Batman in crime scenes, and they're less obvious. I mean, everyone in this film. I mean, I love the Riddler's design. I mean, the trench coat,
Different. It is. When you say if you said the Riddler before me ever seeing this movie, I would have think this green crazy suit with like a bunch of like question marks on it, and completely over the top, and that this. It's such a different thing, and somehow.
And it's really realistic. I mean,
it's so realistic.
He talks about wearing cling film over his face and skin. And Paul Dano actually did try and do that, but he sweated too much.
Really?
But the reason real killers do that, because it hides fingerprints, you don't leave any sweat on the scene. You don't leave any hair or anything. It makes you very clean, so you don't leave anything behind.
Yeah.
The other famous way of doing that is burning off your fingerprints, but that's painful and very long time. Oh, yeah. So cling film's an easy thing, and he talks about not forgetting his cling film.
Well, like here in Batman Productions is that, oh my God, it was so hard to wear the suit and stuff. Like, I could barely breathe in.
They didn't really talk about that for this film, because it's so functional. It's basically just...
I don't know how the Batman suit, how it was for him. Yeah, maybe it was
It seems fine, but I mean, it's essentially a Russian military suit with, bulletproof parts, combat boots, and then the cowl and cape.
Yeah.
Which still kind of feel more like, you know, what you'd wear if you were kind of... It feels very military, and that's probably how he got it. I mean, he would have bought it off military surplus and then mildly changed
and
it.
And I can genuinely take this suit seriously.
Yeah,
the
it
ones
looks
for
good.
The F, I genuinely do not.
I mean,
like,
half of them are nipples, and we just don't want to talk about the nipples.
Schumacher's nipples, absolutely despise Schumacher's films. Stuff like the back card is just absolutely bonkers.
I don't know why that was in there.
I don't know. Well, Schumacher said he wanted them to look like Greek gods, and he himself was a gay man, so maybe that put some stuff into it. I don't know.
Yeah,
but like,
but the whole
this
thing
one,
was...
I can genuinely take it seriously. Affleck's one, it's too bulky. In my opinion, it is way too bulky. And I really like Keaton's one as well. It kind of reminds me of this as well.
Yeah.
But I think Keaton's one's more iconic with the yellow symbol and that. But I really
love the practicality of his suit. Like, he rides a motorbike in this movie. He drives a car. He jumps off a building. He does multiple fights.
I don't think the bat car...
he can realistically do that in his suit.
I know.
I personally like the Batman.
I think
I like the way
you have to
looks.
See the Tim Burton's one. It is so cool.
But I mean, it's real. Like, it's essentially
real.
A heavily modified like Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
With like a rocket engine in the back. But I mean, it all could be done by a billionaire with time on his hands and the power of trauma.
And I hear something quite often where like. A lot of people say, okay, this Batman will kill, this one won't. Keaton will kill, Bale won't kill. This one won't kill, Affleck will kill. like
he will this
because,
guy
because Affleck will go completely.
I mean, I personally think that Pattinson is not going to have any problem with killing at some point.
I don't think, because I remember when Commissioner Gordon brought out his gun and he said no guns, like,
yeah,
like, fair enough. And like,
but I think to a way that guns is a very messy way of killing, and if he's going to do it, he wants it to like stay quiet and minimalized.
I know, but he won't I don't think he will kill. But no, Keaton will kill. I remember Batman Returns. He completely sets this guy on fire, which is just like...
Which was referenced at some point during the Penguin. They talked about like fire and stuff like that, which would have come from that. But I think, I just think that... Yeah, he's just a very interesting Batman. He's nothing we've kind of seen before.
I know, he's a really interesting one. And you say about the suit practicality, which is... weird, because I don't hear a lot about the suit being really practical. Like,
I mean, you can feel that it can kind of do anything. I mean, there was at some point in a Batman comic, he could shoot the points off his cowl off of people.
I need to see that in the movie.
And I could see that in this film. Like, that's something I could imagine, like, headbutting and then detaching them in someone and stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, I hear stuff about how Keaton can't even move his head, and they reference it in Nolan's film. Yeah. Where, like, when they're making the suit, they're like, you need to be able to turn your head and stuff. So, like, it's... And it looks really awkward in those films. He completely just goes, like...
Yeah.
And here, it genuinely, he walks like when he comes out of the car, like, car wreck. First, when the car completely flies out of the fire, that was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
That was...
When he comes out of the fire and upside down with that music, that was probably the coolest thing.
That was
I
the
had
coolest
seen.
Thing I've seen. Like,
is
ever.
This is this from the film? Like,
yeah,
I see the inspiration from Tim Burton's films here.
I just love the way that the bat,
it's
like,
very
the
gothic.
Wayne Manor looks. Yeah. But so the in terms of news for Batman 2 and the wider DCU, there's been talks that
it's not
a very forgotten Batman villain, Clayface, may be a villain for Pattinson's Batman.
Which is good, because,
and I would love to see a Batman 2 Clayface. I think. He would be interesting. And
it's good because, like, every single time they always go, okay, we need to have the Joker, we need to have Catwoman, we need to have the Penguin here and there, then we need to have Bane, and then we have to have the Scarecrow as well. And I think they keep reusing those. It'll be interesting to see other villains.
And Clayface portrayed in the
but
more
like,
realistic
it's gonna be
way
more, it's, no, it's going to be...
He can change
if they
shape.
Do this, it's going to be more fantasy. I'm not
yeah,
even
no,
lie.
But he can change shape and things like that.
Yeah, but
and
that's I still more fantasy. Like, this one is very grounded.
Yeah, they'll bring him in as more of a, like, a chameleon of sorts, where you can't find him because he can change who he is at all times.
I mean, like, it's kind of like... I mean, they changed the Riddler from being completely goofy, like...
You
need to go see Batman Forever because it is completely nuts. But, like, you see how they change it from this really goofy character to somebody who's more he's really grounded and really realistic here.
Yeah.
So they might do the same thing.
And then why did DCU, James Gunn obviously took over as creative director, and we just got the trailer for the Superman.
You haven't seen a Superman film, have you?
I've seen Man of Steel, which was... okay, I think.
I've seen Christopher Reeve's first one, which is, it's really good. It is really
Of, I've seen some of it, and like the takeoffs and stuff.
Like it for 1979, is it? 78. It's genuinely one of the like most, technically, for the technology, it is incredible. And it really feels they're going down that route. But at the same time, I can see them going down that DCEU. Have you seen how many super villains they're bringing into this?
Oh, yeah. No, watching the trailer, there was a really big sense of, like, hope coming back to the screen.
I know.
I'm really excited for David
Cornswell.
Because
this is the first superhero movie in a long time where I'm like, hey, I genuinely want to watch this.
Yeah, like, David Cornswell as Superman. I love the choice. I mean, obviously, having seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3 with Nathan Fillion playing a supporting role, he was very funny. I'm excited to see him as kind of the loser
Nick
Green.
Nick Holt as Lex Luthor. Interesting.
I mean, Lex Luthor, I'm just excited to see him again in a way that isn't Mark Zuckerberg
with
too much
money. I don't
know
what they were going for with Jesse Eisenberg.
And I personally think, like, Nathan Fillion is great. And if those who don't know Guy Gardner, he's a bit of the like loser, kind of annoying, mean version of Green Lantern. I think it's going to be interesting to see him.
But it's a lot of it. And it's a lot, and you know.
I mean, it's James Gunn.
I mean James Gunn.
You can't hate on James Gunn. He's
personally, you can't
amazing.
Go wrong with James Gunn. Disney messed out with James Gunn. They should have kept him at Marvel.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 exactly. is one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, this guy can't lose. I mean, but bringing exactly. in Mr. Terrific.
I know.
I mean, like, barely anyone knows who Mr. Terrific is, and you're just doing a massive, like, fan service
yeah,
for these
like,
guys.
It's a lot of it. I think there's, like,
it's a lot of people, but I think he's establishing the fact that he's not going to make it, like, the DCU where everyone's, like, going on group missions and stuff, but he's establishing that there are other people in this world. It's not just Superman,
yeah. I don't
just
know.
Batman.
I've always preferred it when they're, like, okay, this is one world with these people. It's not an extended universe. For Marvel, it works because they've established that from the very yeah. beginning. Here, they haven't set any rules down
well,
for the
this
DCU.
This is the first move, right?
Well, no. I think they've had like three false starts. They started with Man of Steel, then they started again with Justice League, then
yeah,
they released
Snyder
Cut, then they tried The Flash. The Flash flopped, and then yeah. they tried Black Adam. Then they did this. The Suicide Squad. Although it was good,
was great, but
they
it wasn't
didn't
going
make anywhere. Any money. So like, okay, let's start again.
I think they're just throwing all of that out the window.
They're throwing
and
everything
they can. Starting at your basics with Superman was a great choice, in my opinion. We haven't seen a good Superman movie in a long time, and just giving kind of the world a chance to kind of because I've my fr- like when I, my friend's a huge superhero guy. When we talk about superheroes, we love. Superman doesn't come up a lot.
Superman doesn't go. People think he's too basic.
Yeah, and he's kind
which
of been ruined.
It's not fair because like we've had so many different superheroes since then who have come with all the interesting things, you know.
Yeah, and I think having a chance to kind of show Superman again.
Wait, have you seen the Nicolas Cage Superman?
Oh,
it's genuinely one of the most interesting photos I have ever seen because. Have you heard of, like, Superman Lives? Like, they were supposed to make Superman Lives, like, in the 90s with Tim Burton. And it genuinely looked really interesting. I would have loved a Superman film with Nicolas Cage.
I think it just would have been funny.
It would have been, well, I don't know. Like, it would have been a Tim Burton film, so I don't think it would have been, like, the Schumacher films with, like, the Bat card. I got the Superman card here or something. But, like, that would have been really interesting, but that's just another false start. Then there's Superman Returns in 2006 and stuff, which that never really took off. Then you had Man of Steel, which I don't really think that took off either, although Christopher Nolan wrote the script for that. Then you had Batman versus yeah. Superman, which I don't think people really liked. Then you had Justice League. I haven't seen the Snyder Cut. I haven't even seen
so
Justice
far,
League.
I mean, the DCU did very well with the Batman.
It's not
coming
that,
back.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's not part of the.
I know.
I have to keep reiterating. It's not part of the DCEU. Yeah. I've checked. It's its own thing, which is so messy. With Marvel, if you're gonna make something, make it part of the universe. You got the MCU. Everything's part of the MCU. Here we've got. Oh, we got the Flash. We got Batman from Tim Burton's one in it, but it's still part of the DCU. But we've got the Robert Pattinson one.
Yeah,
still part of it.
I mean,
but we got Ben Affleck. He's part of it as well. And I'm like,
but
we've
I
got
love,
three Batmans.
I love
Who's
leaving.
Part of it?
I love leaving Pattinson out of it because.
Oh, I'm really happy.
So far, we've had. The best rollout from this universe. I mean, having the Batman and then the Penguin, which is two, in my opinion, 5-star creations.
Yeah, they're going really well with
this. Back to back is insane.
They're doing really well with this.
To finish this session off, what are we giving the Batman on our official rating?
Oh,
I'm going for a 5.
I'm going for 4. I don't think it has the identity of the Burton films where, like, they're so visually striking and you know it when you see it. But it's not, personally, I don't think they're as bland. It doesn't look as bland.
It's nowhere near bland.
It's nowhere near bland as the Nolan films. Like, no, not the story, but, like, how it looks. But, you know, and the characters are great. I don't like... And, like, Robert Pattinson is good. I don't like him as much as Bruce Wayne, but he's a very good Batman. He's not doing the Christian Bale thing of, like, where are the bodies or something like that.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, so to close it off...
It's 4.
Thank you for listening.
It's
4.5 from both of us evening out. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
You've been listening to La Cosa Nostra. I've been Edward.
I'm Noah, and we'll be back in, I don't know, 2028 to do the to Batman Part Two.
Yeah. If we're still here.
Yeah, if we're still
here. And if not, we'll have another podcast. If we're not, we'll have another podcast, which we will plug, or we'll come back for it. Yeah. Thank you very much.